Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cup. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that down. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the
cuff, baby. What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the Queen of Trap, representing Crenshaw. And you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
What it ain't, what it do. It's Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio is always where it's at on Friday nights. West West, y'all.
SR-40C. Well, let's just take a look at them. See what we have here.
Pressure and punishment. Traumatize the children when I kill you in front of them. Cumberland, Maryland, where the body was buried. Visionary of the Hava Cooper, not Terry. Levels of concentration when it comes to the guns and shit. Bloody was a stand-up with the federal government. Jail to prison, a halfway house, and shelters the basement. To the condominium, cut your face with aqua bracelet. Big corporation was facing charges of espionage. Magazine is standing on the rod of sexy to guard. Heart is the right direction with hand weapon products. Bitch niggas rather see me working part-time at Starbucks. Off the ships are sailing from the pen, I rode in dolphins. Soul through your feeble-minded extortion. Large proportion of people struggle come with psychological components. Mine with illegal mountain eagle pistol ownership. Time consuming, I apply pressure and punishment. Traumatize the children when I kill you in front of them. Cumberland, Maryland, where the body was buried. Visionary of the Hava Cooper, not Terry. Legendary lyrics of creative nonfiction. Rifle with the dust covered in forward assistance. Spectacular RGM hosting a staff event. Alamo County niggas saw me studying pathogens. The unsanctioned hit was beneficial with harmony. Started regulating niggas, thought I was Warren G. Science of the 40 calibration of education. Brand new way to rise inside a mold of plastic casing. Peace to the five of the nation forever and ever. Got them about it, and when you put punches together. Desert Eagle flew over the 14 million landscape. SR-40C handled present in my handshake. Flat as a pancake, muscles in my stomach. Told you once before, righteous death was all I wanted. I confronted beings who regarded as horrific. Applying living mathematics to pistol ballistics. Lyrics are highly concentrated and I'm in tune with plants, birds, insects, animals and humans. Being weird is merely the nature of being human. During the Spence Jr. fight, Uber's got ruined. Time consuming, I apply pressure and punishment. Traumatize the children when I kill you in front of them. Cumberland, Maryland, where the body was buried. Visionary of the Hava Cooper, not Terry. Time consuming, I apply pressure and punishment. Traumatize the children when I kill you in front of them. Cumberland, Maryland, where the body was buried. visionary of the Hopper Cooper, not Terry. Time consuming, I apply pressure and punishment.
Right, we are now tuned in to episode number 519. I had a play exclusive for my man, Jupreme Magnetic. I'm your host, King Eric, the media assassin. And you are now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio. I got my host, T-Max, with the facts in the building right now. What's going on, my man?
What's going on, man? This is another fantastic Friday on the frequency of OTC. You know it's the place to be. Shout out to our co-host, the Spirit Law Sandman. And Lady Chinchilla, we are sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, King Air Productions, Dirty Basement Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Four Financial, and a slew of other supporters, old and new, who have helped us along the way. We thank y'all so much for tuning in. Tonight's show is a very, very special one. This man we have right here, he's legendary, and that's an understatement. This man is the godfather of modern-day hip-hop publications as you know it today. And not only is he the founding publisher of Word Up Magazine, he's posted of so many others, such as Black Men's Magazine, Black Hair, so many others. He is a visionary. He is a pioneer. He is a trendsetter. He is the most debonair in his flair that has given our experience through his pages and his publication, the proper dignity, decorum, and respect in richly recognizing the culture and its contributions to it. He's one of the reasons why we do what we do today. But ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Mr. John Blasingame.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, sir? Again. Hello.
Hey, how you everybody. How's everybody doing?
We're good. How are you?
We good, man.
I'm blessed. God is good, and you know, we're just carrying on, taking on, and making things happen. You know, with the way the world is today, you know, you have to pick a day at a time to understand what's going on in this country and globally. You know, it's not like it was. With regard to the print media, with regard to social media, etc. So we just we still keep it moving and we keep it alive. And this is what
Absolutely.
We're doing. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So
it's been a long time coming, but we finally got it going, though. We finally got
yes,
you going.
Well, persistence overcomes resistance.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I mean, you know, like we were telling our audience, you are the OG of this in terms of it. Word Up was first. There would be no double
word
up. Still,
there
would
be
no vibe.
Yeah, yes. we had Black Men. We had PBW, or Today's Black Woman Style Report, and Hype Hair Magazine. And also,
Absolutely.
we produced the largest show, Afro-American shows. We did the International Designer of the Year, where we bring young black designers that are trying to take their careers to the next level. We had a platform where we sent them to Paris, France, and an opportunity to be in a magazine. We have the International Model of the Year, where we had the male and female models, and we sent them to Paris, France, and an opportunity to be in the magazine. These were giving young models, young designers that would never have the opportunity to get an opportunity to take their careers to the next level. Okay, and then more.
Mm-hmm. We still got them on, King. Hold on 1 second.
That was
Yeah, he's still on. Yeah, he's
okay.
still on.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, you're still on. Go ahead.
All right. All right. These were the ladies in different communities that came to our event as a contestant and talked about what they're doing socially in their communities to bring their attention to our young women, our young black women. And we did this for 25 years. And it's a wonderful thing because we gave them opportunity they're doing in their communities and what have you. So, and we sent the young lady, the winner, to Cancun, and she did a spread in Hype Hair magazine. You know,
okay.
We have to help. We have to work and help our community. When you look at what's going on in the world today and see the different things that are happening, and we as blacks, I mean, we've suffered 400 years building this country, okay? But my thing is this, is that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, you have to be motivated to say, hey, I'm not going to let this resistance get me down. I'm going to keep it moving. And our brothers and sisters today, that's what we got to say. We are going to keep it moving. We can't let nothing stop us or get in our way. You know, if I would have stopped I was the first black at Hearst Magazine, you know, the white organization, I was the first black that they hired, okay? I had the biggest afro you ever want to see at that time, okay? Okay. I'm being real about it. At me. I took the jokes and et cetera. Do you know why I was there? I was there to learn.
And for those that don't know, y'all, Hearst Magazine was actually the parent publishing company of Cosmopolitan. So from where you first started, John, you were already in a prestigious circle to begin with in terms of your nascent career, you know, then in terms of really beginning to learn the publishing game. What did you learn about it in terms of how magazines go in reference to their bylines in terms of their cover stories, advertising placement, and also commentaries and editorials and all of that?
I think his call got dropped for a minute. We're gonna try
okay,
to
his call
back.
Got dropped. Okay. Okay, got you.
Yeah, because he's in a different area.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's back on.
I'll
right
tell you
now.
One.
Right
I'm back on.
Back on.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, but like I was telling the audience, it's all good.
How to get out to get their magazine distributed to the community. Mm-hmm. And once I learned that, I could come back to my community and say, brothers and sisters, if you want to get your magazine distributed into Barnes & Noble, Submillion, CVS, you know, supermarket chains, okay, terminal accounts, support, I got the knowledge now. I know how we can make it happen. I started working with that skit. Mr. Johnson with Ebony, Jeff.
I think you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. And we've had success with a lot of black publications. Okay. But as you well know now, social media has stunted the growth of print media. Okay, now because everybody now is these young folks are on the the internet and they're doing this thing on the internet now. Still it is a good thing to be or to have on the newsstands or in CBS and in Barnes and Nobles and in some of the large, because you have the larger chains, because the advertisers like hard copies. So it's good to have your magazines out there and these different chains and what have you. Yeah. And again, supporting our young folks today and giving them opportunities, that's what I do and that's what I've been doing. I've helped a lot of folks get started. I've even worked with, I don't know whether you heard of Will Packer.
Mm-hmm.
Will Packer. I helped him with his first movie, Menage a Trois.
Go ahead.
Kenya Moore.
And Gary Dordain.
I helped promote it. Bernard Bronner from Bronner Brothers. He financed the movie. He put in $250,000 at that time to finance it, and that's how Will got it started. And then Will got he went into Target, Will got that started. And then Sony gave him opportunity to do three movies. One of the movies was. He's done now. Stomp the Yard, that was one of the first movies he did. And, of course, he did Straight Out of Compton, Think Like a Man. Mm-hmm. Okay. But his first movie, when he came out of FAMU, was the Kenya Moore movie.
Yeah,
the Nigel Trois. That's what they called it, Trois.
Got a shout out Florida A&M. Shout out to y'all, the Rattlers. We see y'all down south doing what y'all do, represent for the HBCU. John, when you speak on in terms of opportunities and such, the late great fashion designer icon Andre Leon Talley, he said history matters, and of course we know history matters and representation matters more in terms of having us to tell our stories. And whether media or, you know, movies, print or what have you. We all know about Johnson Publishing, founded by John Johnston,
and of course his wife, Eunice Johnson. Ebony Jet, the original magazine for Mr. Johnson was Negro Digest.
Okay.
The Negro Digest was the original magazine that he came out with. And then it's that a Negro Digest, he named it Ebony. And then from Ebony, he got Jet. He got Jet Magazine. And then, of course, he had Johnson Products, the cosmetic line. Mr. Johnson did very well. And I'm so proud of what he did. But then his daughter took the company over when Linda Rice took it over. Of course, you know what happened. You know what happened there. The magazine. I mean, right now, this basketball star, one of the basketball players, I forget his name, brought it, and now they're doing an online magazine. Ebony is online now. They're doing it once a year. They're doing an annual now with Ebony Magazine. Okay, trying to bring it back. So, and of course, you know, High Tier Magazine, which I was the founding publisher, is now online. Okay, but there's a few magazines that I'm working with now that we're bringing back, and of course, that one of the magazines is Sheen Magazine. Sheen, I met Miss Chapman at Bonner Brothers, the hair show. It was a pamphlet. Now it's one of the largest magazines on the newsstand, Sheen Magazine. Sheen and Ebony are both still on the newsstand. We have three new magazines coming out. One is called She Exists. Another is called Black Links. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is called Independent Gatekeepers. These are the three new magazines that are on the newsstand. I'm going to have at my show. You know, I'm doing that show in October. Halloween
October,
fashion,
yes, sir.
October the 29th and 30th, Halloween Fashion Weekend. We have Jimmy Kane, the vice president of Wu-Tang Manager, as one of our guests. Rob Love, the former BT at Def Jam, he's coming out. Of course, Bernard Brano will be there from Upscale. Sheen Magazine will be there. You know, we're bringing them out. And that's going to be a Halloween Fashion Weekend, October the 29th and 30th. At the Marriott Hotel at Newark International Airport. It is the place to be. Yeah, you guys should come on out and do some interviews at this one here. It's going to be a monster, believe me. You know, I've been doing it for 43 years. I've been putting on these shows. Okay?
Man.
And we've been carrying on. We have been carrying on, so, you know. Again, if you get an opportunity, this is an opportunity. If you get a chance, definitely come on out and do some interviews.
Man, we if everything worked out, we would love to come out there. When you look at the journey, John, that you so boldly and so confidently embarked on, because of course, when we look at Ebony Magazine, we looked at Jet Magazine. They would talk about so many things from the black experience from film and, you know, music, but hip-hop was not necessarily something that had been recognized in popular culture, at least at a level of having a serious journalism take it. When did you get the idea that Word Up magazine was going to be that pioneering publication that was going to really do it?
Back when Biggie Small and, you know, and Busta Rhymes and, we thought, hey, listen, we need to bring these stars, these folks out, and this is what we did. If you look on our covers, okay, Michael, we did posters with Michael, and with a kid,
right,
and put them up on that room, you know. And of course, we worked, many years. We weren't competitive. We worked with Cynthia Horn. You know who she is, right?
I believe so. Please, I'll let our audience know.
Cynthia Horn, it was Right On Magazine.
Got you. Okay. We still got him on, King, or did his phone cut off?
I think he's still on.
Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
We hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, we had Right On that was out there. We had Mike Ward's Word Up, my book. We did our thing with it. I mean, you know, we had the hottest people were Michael Jackson back then, and he was on our cover a lot. We put Janet on there. And of course, Biggie, these were the folks that were hot. We brought them out, and we did the posters and et cetera. You know, so this is what we've been doing, and of course, we look at what's going on today. Okay, it's a different world today. And the music is different today. You know?
Right.
The culture is different today, you know. When I look at it, I said, we've got to get back to patience. You know, we got to change some of the things that are happening. I mean, with the guns and the different types of things that are going on with the disrespect for the women, you know, it has changed totally. So. And that's my thing. That's what I work on every day, is to bring brothers and sisters back to respecting one another. Okay? And that's where it's at right now.
I could probably vouch in and say that when soul music like R&B started becoming the value and more so been focused on hip hop.
I mean, yeah, look, he has that stuff like Marvin Gaye. I mean, the words meant something.
Right.
Back
right.
In the
What's
day.
Going on?
It's
yeah.
changed. Yeah. It's changed so much. Yeah. I think we have to get back to the basics. That is respect. You don't respect me.
I think you're breaking up a little bit more, sir. Just try to come to the phone a little bit. Yeah, y'all, he's outside of a different area. He's definitely going to call back. But we get some good gems, you know, for real.
Absolutely. But, you know, King, when we think about that whole situation in terms of how he started it, you know, like we were interviewing Wendy Day last night, you know, hip-hop was a phenomenon that, you know, of course, everybody, you know, of course, in earnest, you could even take it back to the days of James Brown, maybe even further than that. This is going back into the 50s and 70s, where you have the Last Poets, you know, Gil Scott-Heron, of course. You know, you have Sugar Hill Gang in 78, you know, hip-hop being birthed, you know, 1520 Sedgwick Avenue, you know, Bronx, New York. You know, I believe that was August 14th, I believe, when it's recognized. August 11th or 14th, that's where I always get those dates mixed up. But you figure in the 80s, you know, Def Jam starts with Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons. LL drops the first record on Def Jam at 15 years old, you know, with radio. Of course, you have, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. You know, you would have the Fat Boys, Roxanne Shanté, UTFO. This is all coming in this particular time. This is way before we even get into Public Enemy, Ice-T, you know, KRS-One, MC Shan, MC Light, Queen Latifah. Yeah, so this is but before all of that, you had to have a publication that was going to respectfully cover it and give it the dignity in its covering with the proper decorum that befits a distinguished and what's the word I'm looking for, a dignified publication. And that was, you know, by, you know, Word Up Magazine. That they were the ones to carry that torch, you know, and really I think
Absolutely.
That would open up the doors. Yeah, that would open up the doors for Vibe, Double XL, Source Magazine, Don Diva, As Is, pretty much any hip-hop based publication that you could think of in the past 35 years, you know, Word Up has that distinction of being the first. He's the reason, you know, we do what we do. He's an inspiration for us, you know, because that's how we learned to be journalists.
Absolutely.
Through, you know, from what he did. You know,
absolutely.
So
and that's what
we're
supposed
something.
To do with our show is that we cover all different parameters and beyond just artists and producers. We wouldn't cover the publishers, the filmmakers, the creators, the taste takers, you know, the taste makers, you know, people like that. Everybody that had contribution deserves to be covered here.
Absolutely. And there's so many people that have contributed in such an immense fashion. While we're waiting for John to come back, you know, we got to talk about this on air, dog. The situation with academics speaking on that whole situation, because a lot of people, and a couple that we know personally, have spoken up with their displeasure about once again trying to get a bit too big for his britches. Please, King, go ahead, you know, and let it off like the fireworks on the floor of letting them blast.
Yeah, man, I actually did a video about this earlier, man, and see.
Uh-huh.
This is what my argument stands, and this is where I feel academics is wrong. Because number one, when he's talking about
people, the OGs that dropped the ball, they didn't further the current generation of business to help them getting deals. You got to look at it like this. There was no tutorial guide on how the industry worked like it is now. Like, you have seminars, you have classes, you have books, you have free YouTube games, you have podcasts, you had all these outlets that's giving you more so the ins and outs of how the music industry ran. When these guys were creating hip-hop in the 70s and the 80s, they had no clue really what they were doing. They were just trying to have fun with the music, and they were just trying to build something to change the musical landscape. They didn't really focus on the business. Even Eric Sermon said that he didn't even think about business making them EPMD. He was just thinking about making good music. So those guys come in, they're not really knowing what they're doing, because this was around the time hip-hop scene is considered a fad, like disco or something. And I could guarantee you, if those guys would have seen or would have known that hip-hop was going to blow up like it did and become a billion-dollar enterprise, they would have had better deals or negotiated better deals.
True.
You would think right now, like when Magic Johnson was negotiating the deal with his sneaker line, he would have renegotiated if he knew Jordan was going to come along and change the game. But see, around that time period, you didn't have none of these outlets to give you the game. It was. We didn't really know how the business was ran until, I say, when we heard about what Cube and NWA and Tribe Called Quest, when they came out with records talking about the industry is shady and stuff like that. But that's where we're wrong at to me, man, because you can't use 2002 metrics on things that were occurring in 1979 or 1980, because you didn't have no internet. Everything was pretty much learned by trial and error.
Exactly.
And when we look at the business today, we're looking at it from a perspective of the money is way more immense, the celebrity is more omnipresent, the scrutiny is infinite. When you get into something from a perspective, like you said, of where you're negotiating, when you're seeing something and you're living in a moment of its time, actually watching it grow, you're not necessarily sure where it goes. You may have an idea. You know, you might even see some things, you know what I mean? But it doesn't necessarily illuminate a path of intelligence in terms of you having that knowledge of where it's going to be at. You're just going along for the ride with it, and you're hoping that it doesn't, you don't have a crash landing.
Plus, on top of that, bro, he was sitting there trying to talk about how many people LL Cool J put on. How many people did you sign to a label? I'm like, number one, they didn't have that type of leverage at the time to even get labels like that. That didn't really start happening until when I think Eazy-E kicked that door down with Ruthless. Nobody was really had the leverage to gain ownership like that. That was number one.
And you got to think about it with Eazy. Eazy, pretty much with Ruthless, that was a label he started himself, you know. And but like you said, this was not during a time where artists were getting these deals from the labels themselves to go out and start something.
You had to sell like a billion records. You had to sell damn near double platinum. And then they'll reward you with something. Like, they'll maybe give you a bigger budget on an album, but a label? No. See, they do that now where if you sell a bunch of albums or you do it consistently, they'll reward you with a label.
Right. And even then, that wasn't until way later. I mean, but we look at situations like what happened with Hammer. Remember when he had Busted Records back in the day?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, when he signed Dougie Fresh, but that didn't go so well. I mean, of course, you know, Cube ended up having, you know, Cube had his joint back in the day, Heavyweight Records. You know, I think that was the one thing, that was the second one after he had initially started Lynch Mob Records.
Well, let me tell you this.
You know.
And this is what I was saying before.
Right.
People don't understand how hard it is to guide and manage young talent. We don't know for sure that LL is giving... We don't know for sure how many times LL probably reached out to a lot of these young guys, and you know how these little niggas get. They really arrogant and stupid and disrespectful. And so they figure, okay, go ahead and learn yourself. Fuck you then. I ain't about to sit and waste my time. So
right.
So therefore you dealing with that type of attitude. They don't want to listen to it. I'm like, you don't respect history, but you want the OGs to bend their back and give you game. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And in terms of it, you know, we looked at all the proliferation of that time in terms of the labels that were coming out, like when Mac 10 had Who Bangin' Records, you know, Core, DMX had Bloodline Records. Puffy, you know, we got to put him in there too. You know, Puffy, you know, was, and we have to say this to set the record straight. We'll be claimed in the comments for it, but more than likely. But the reality is this, though. The situation was this with Puffy. Bad Boy was not a label that he owned. That was, we must set the record straight. Bad Boy, he did not own Bad Boy Records. Bad Boy was distributed through Arista. Bad Boy was Arista extending it in terms of going into the Urban Music Division exclusively, of which they made Sean Puffy Combs. I'm still calling him Sean Combs. Mama named him Sean. I'm going to call him Sean. You know, that was a label that he was given to run. And we all know Puffy's history, and it ain't been so great. But we can say this about Puff. For what he did for those peak years of Bad Boy, the success was undoubtable. I mean, it was undisputable. The man did his thing. But when you are in charge
man,
of it, you are...
Yeah, I mean, plus, I will say this too, man. And plus, on top of that, how you supposed to then call these guys dusty and motherfucker, you look like you about a chicken wing or a cheeseburger away from having a heart attack and going to the afterlife?
You know, the problem is with Act, and Act as a journalist, because he has chosen this business, he has a right to say, you know, what he feels. Problem is just what he says most of the time isn't correct. Or he just does it simply to try to agitate people, of which this one, you know, LL, Uncle L is not a dusty cornball. Uncle L is a legend, you know, and you don't go around essentially casting aspersions and even throwing out malicious allegations of people alleging non-support from those who you think should have done something. That's arbitrary in terms of what a person thinks should have happened and what the reality, what the dynamics actually are. And academics need to check himself behind that, because he stepped way out of bounds with that. And rightfully so, there are some people coming at his neck about it, because, you know, then the question is for academics, okay, how many other podcasts have you spawned off? If you're going to point this thing
at
the
artist, what the fuck did you give us, man? You gave us what, 6ix9ine? What you gave us? All these drug addicted, dope fiend rappers that you give us every day. You have what, these Instagram thoughts that you trick on? Like, why you want your the war is Chirac? What kind of crap you give us to in place of that, man? You need to humble yourself, buddy.
But he's talking about how the legends didn't put nobody on. I'm going to say this once, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. When you are able to do for somebody, that is always a blessing, and it is always great. But you are, you know, but it is not something an artist is obligated to do. This is where people have to understand this. There is no obligation. There is no written in a contract when an artist signs that they have to bring somebody up. Now, in terms of community for the culture and facilitating it, it is absolutely beautiful when someone brings someone up. We've had a lot of people help us out bringing us up over the years, of which we love and appreciate so many of our supporters that have, you know, picked us up along the way and helped us along. So we've helped people as well. So we understand the benefit of helping. But that's what we do, and we're not going to throw shade at anybody who doesn't. That's their choice if they feel that, number one, that they are able, and number two, if they want to do it.
And also people have to understand this caveat as well. You can't bring everybody on the boat. If y'all seen that picture and that meme, you see everybody on a small boat and then everybody cutting out their parts of the plane trying to build their
and
own
plus,
ship.
Plus, just like Psych told us on the show a long time ago, where people were getting that, you know, that when Ice Cube was running his, he's trying to get himself established so he could bring people on.
Right.
Because same thing with Snoop. When Snoop was running
Boston Celtics coach for.
Same thing when he was talking about Snoop Dogg and where he was trying to get Doghouse label established. He's running his as he goes. Like this, it's trial and error, and people are getting on him for not really putting certain artists on and not pushing this person, not pushing that person. But it's not easy running a ship like that. Like he's just learning.
Right, right.
So it
right.
takes patience. Like wait till that man get established and learning the ship again. He can teach you how to fish.
Right, and that's what it is. And see people. This is a tricky game in the industry because people got to understand how long it takes for a lot of these individuals to get their footing in the game. And, you know, when you're talking about getting a label deal with somebody, that's a lot of money that they're investing in you. So your first instinct with getting those type of extensions, those courtesies financially, is that you don't blow it. You don't fumble the bag. You don't blow the opportunity. But there is sometimes, and I'm going to say this, people need to stop treating this like it's a charity case. It isn't. This is not a charity case. People are not obligated to go out of their way to help you. But situations come where they will if they think it's worth it, where they will put their resources and reputation on the line, but they will only do that if they feel that it's something going that extra mile is going to benefit.
Right.
But people have to understand this is not something that just by meritocracy that you are obligated to help them. Like Chris Rock said, you know, the person who is pushing their car trying to get somewhere, people are more prone or more to help because they see somebody taking on the initiative to do it themselves. But when you're just waiting around to do something, what did he say? The moral of the story is nobody's going to help you. You got to get up and help yourself.
It's like that even now.
You got to be a self-starter in all of this. And a lot of people don't always understand that. You know, you got to be ready to get out there and get your hands dirty doing what you have to do for you. So that is something that, you know, obviously Ack once again got loose with his mouth. He's going to have to once again deal with the consequences that come from erroneous, reckless talk like he usually does. But I am glad to see a lot of the legends, you know, Shaw, Big Twins and everybody come up and say something. You know, Corporal AK, a lot of these guys have come up and spoke on it, on L's defense, and I'm glad. You know, we need somebody to speak up about this.
Absolutely. And I guarantee with this backlash, what they're going to do, they're going to try. This is what I'm going to say before I leave. Because, I understand that John got a fashion show to do, so big shout out to him for joining us, and we're definitely going to let him park
you
down the line.
Definitely.
But this is what's going to happen down the line. I'm going to guarantee you this, and I said this in the video earlier. I guarantee you that you're going to see LL on Academics Podcast.
Yeah, it's got
to
happen.
They're going to find a way to bring – they got to find a way to merge this conversation. Plus, they figure, it's going to benefit both. Because think about it. It's going to benefit LL. Because, you know, you're going to have, you know, Ack's audience and Academics going to probably need to earn more stripes and respect to gain his base back, to gain more of the older heads. So I predict that they're going to probably come together on a podcast or do a live or whatever.
Absolutely. And I think
if I'm right, run me my money.
Well, we know you're right, and I'm not taking that bet. I'm betting with you that they're going to do that because they have to. For the situation at hand, he got out of pocket. The only thing he can do now is he's got to put his money where his mouth is, or in this case, his media outlet where his mouth is, and bring LL on. Because the fact is, it was disrespectful. So now he's got to open up a dialogue. And LL is going to be a class act. He always has been. He's going to keep it. He's going to keep it respectful. But I know he's going to have some words to say. And by all means, we're here for all the words Uncle L has to say about it, which he has a right to defend himself. So, like you said, bro, I'm with you on this. And we know what's going to happen where this is going to be where he's going to be on the show. I give it within the next.
It's going to happen.
3 weeks to a month.
I guess about another week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is
all publicity
that
is good publicity.
Talked about.
Definitely
yeah, that
does.
It is.
Definitely does. But nevertheless, man, we about to go in and head out, man. Because, you know, we wanted to do an exclusive show right here. We want to send a big shout-out to John for taking the time out of his busy schedule to chop it up with us. We're definitely going to have
Absolutely.
A part two down the line. And we're going to have the interview with Wendy Day up soon. We're going to have the interview with Big Prodigy from South Central Cartel. We got Glasses Malone interview coming. We got a lot of stuff we're uploading. We're working over here. So on that note,
absolutely,
we're out of here. We'll see y'all next Friday.
Peace and God bless. Thank you all again for listening. One.